And now it's time for Out and About with Elaine LaRoche here on 1320 WARA.
Everyone, does everyone have Powerball fever? I know like a lot of us do, and now I just went up online to find out what the actual current Powerball lottery is now up to, and it's $800 million. But they actually had an expert saying that don't play quick picks. You have to play your numbers. So, you know, like all those numbers that come to you psychically or your kids' birthdays or birthdays of your family and friends, those are the numbers that are actually going to win you more. And if you played on Wednesday and you don't know the winning number for Powerball, they are 2, 11, 47, 62, 63, and 17. Yeah, since last October, they increased the odds against us. Your chances of winning the lottery now are 1 in $292 million. And like most folks, I think that in the office, everybody has like a pool. So I did too. I participated. I gave somebody. Actually, here's a story, true story. There is a guy at work whose mother won 7 times the lottery because she had this algorithm. She's very, very good statistically. So he does statistics for my company. And so he's plugging in our numbers today based on the odds and the numbers, and he's going out and getting over 100 tickets. We all chipped in $20, and last Wednesday when we did it, we won $48, but we just reinvested back in. So on the board, I have Mike Catanzaro. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Elaine. Now, let me ask you a question. The amount of money that it's worth, right, does that depend on how many people actually buy tickets?
Yes.
So yeah. So a lot of people have invested more money into it since Wednesday.
Oh, my God. It went from 400 and something million to 800 million. They're expecting it to go over 100 million, which would be a billion.
Wouldn't that be funny, Elaine, if no one won tonight and it just kept rolling over?
I think most of the numbers are covered, they say, but you never know. You know, when you put this whole thing in a mathematical statistical analysis and you do the algorithms and you come out with these numbers, you never know. And I have to say I'm pretty positive. It's really funny because we were talking about it, like the amount of people that are working in my office right now, if we hit it, we would, each of us would get $29 million each.
Now, let me ask you this. If you win it, right?
Yep.
What would you do with the money? You ever thought about that?
Yes, I did. I would pay my children's houses. I would pay all their mortgages. I would take care of all the grandkids' college education, where they could go to the best schools ever.
Yeah.
And then I would give money to my favorite charities, and one being the Literacy Center, which I love.
I got a charity that you can invest into.
And what is that?
The Mike and Sue Charity.
I'll buy you a house. How's that? You hear it here on WARA 1320. Yeah, if we win $29 million, Mike, you got a house. How's that?
Well, thank you, Elaine.
Well, you're very welcome. Gosh, you come in here with me every single Saturday morning in winter, spring, summer, and fall, and we get up so early, and we do this show for you, and you're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and I was a little under the weather yesterday. Oh, boy, oh, boy. But today I'm struggling through it, and I appreciate our listeners, too. If you have played the lottery, if you have a system, call us at 508-222-1320. I'd be curious to find out what you do for money. I have to say, when I first came in today, I get up at 5 o'clock on Saturday mornings and do some of the prep for the show. And I did go to Cumberland Farms at 10 after 6, and there were 10 people already in there buying their tickets. And so what I did is I, of course, did the same thing and bought the newspaper for us to go over the lottery numbers for last night. But, the Cumberland Farms folks down on County Street, they're expecting a major mass of people towards mid-afternoon. Like they said, like, from 11 a.m. to, like, almost, like, the whole night, it's going to be busy.
Wow.
They brought in a big tape. She said, I think we better change out the lottery numbers that are printed. Like they have the, you know, like, wait a minute. Let me show
like a
you know, the paper.
Tape? Yeah.
The paper that it's on. She had this huge roll. And I said, well, you're going to go through that, aren't you? She said, absolutely.
Probably need five of those big, large rolls.
I think they probably will. Yeah, they probably will.
Now, what's the money go to? Like, you know, let's say, obviously, you buy a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. You don't win. But what's that? All that money, there's like, is there a percentage of that money go to like, I don't know, like education?
Yeah, it comes back to the, it does go back to the state and the states. But it also, if whoever gets, like, say, there are going to be some winners tonight. There are. There's going to be people that will win, like, say, $1 million because they got four or the five numbers or six numbers. They will win, like the cashier said, that there were like three $1 million winners because they got all of the numbers except one or something like that. So so I think what happens is the store that sells the tickets, they get, I think, 4 or 5% of the winnings.
Oh, they do get something.
Oh, yeah, they
do.
The
store gets something.
Oh, yeah, there were people in North Attleboro and one in Attleboro that hit several millions. I know Seekonk Liquors had won like three times, and they absolutely do. They get a million or whatever the percentage. Now that the numbers are so high, they definitely will get much more money.
How many states are participating in this,
Good question. No, I don't know how many, but we can find out during break. But and that's your job.
I'm already on it, Elaine.
I know you are. You're awesome. This is really great. We do have a great show for you. We're talking about the lottery. Of course, everybody is just so excited about it. And there is something here that I'd like to publicize about one of our own city police officers did a really great, nice thing and didn't really want any credit for it. But it's in today's feel-good stories, I call it, because I'm a positive person, and I always want to leave you with something feeling really, really good. And who knows, we'll probably give you some lottery numbers to play towards the end of the show today. But speaking of the lottery numbers, if you did play yesterday, the Mass Daily number is 3, 5, 8, and 7. Rhode Island Daily number is 9, 3, 7, 0. Mass Cash number is 2, 7, 17, 23, 26. Mega Millions, 11, 39, 51, 57, 75. The Mega Plier is 5, and the Mega Ball is 2. Oof. And that's another thing. They just, you know, space out all these numbers, and that's what they did with the Powerball. There's so many numbers and so many millions of combinations that it's almost impossible to hit. But it does.
44 states in the great United States participate in the Powerball.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
And this includes Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. They all play the game as well. Amazing.
Have you noticed that the majority of them are out in the Midwest, like Illinois, Minnesota? It's like some of these, I mean, really, you know, it's like,
It seems to be more condensed along the East Coast, and especially between us and maybe as far south as West Virginia or Virginia.
Darn,
according to
what's
this map
on
Powerball.com.
Oh, I see. Oh, you've got the numbers. Okay, great. Yeah, it's just really a phenomena. And I know my dad, when he was alive, when it get over like 20 million or something, he would call me from Florida and saying to me, here are my numbers. I want you to play them for me. And it was really, it is fun. It's exciting to dream. And like Mike was saying before we started the show, when you do the Powerball or any of these lotteries, you're really banking on this wonderful dream. What if? Wouldn't it be great to do this, you know, to actually win some money? So we'll see tonight, right, Mike?
Well, I wouldn't recommend, personally, I wouldn't recommend spending your whole entire paycheck on lottery tickets.
No.
I mean, you know, because there are some people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't see doing that.
No, but $20 good.
Or
$10 or even $5.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do $5.
All it takes is One.
Yeah.
So you
can
only buy one ticket. And my sister in Florida, she said, "Well, you know, I've never played it, but I'm going to play it today, and I'm going to do it once. I'm only going to pick out one number." I said, "Well, pick out numbers that mean something to you. Don't do the quick pick." And so I'm going to go back, and I've already written three of my numbers that have popped out into my head, And so I've got to pick out a couple more, and then I'm going to play these particular numbers and maybe a few more. But you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche, and good morning. We're on our first cup of coffee. No, actually, I lied. I'm on my second cup of coffee. I so need to get jumped up today. It's not funny. But I wanted to tell you a little story, and this is really interesting. You know, we hear so many bad things that are happening in the news lately, and it's just been really horrific. But this is a feel-good story, and it's in today's Sun Chronicle. I'd like to read it to you, so please bear with me. Police said a 70-year-old man who left his assisted living center in New York City was returning to visit a relative on Thursday night. And he, unfortunately, what happened was the police said that he suffers from a brain injury. He traveled by bus to Providence, where he took a cab to Attleboro. The cab driver was unaware of the man's medical condition and left him in a parking lot in a local gas station in 30-degree weather. After the man couldn't give the driver an address. So the police were called in an attempt to help the man find his friend's home. Unfortunately, they couldn't. But attempts were made unsuccessfully, and because the man had given the address and it was wrong, and they kept trying to check and nothing happened. So what happened is they tried to call relatives, you know, before they finally reached his daughter. The woman was shocked to learn that his father had left Manhattan's assisted living because neither the man nor his daughter could afford a ticket home back to New York. So a police officer who does not want to be identified purchased a ticket for the man to return home. The Amtrak police assisted, making sure the man was safely boarded and properly got on the right train to go back to New York. And it is just like a wonderful story. The police officer also gave him a meal before he went to the Amtrak station. And I just think that, you know, in this day and age where there's so much bad things happening, we need to see more good things happening, and I'm glad that it was on the front page rather than buried on page 6. So anyway, think about that. We're going to take a quick break, and on the flip side, we've got a lot of show for you today. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep, but the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
1964, The Tribute is, in fact, a Beatles tribute band scheduled to perform at the Stadium Theater located on Monument Square in Woonsocket on January 16th at 8 o'clock p.m. Since the early 1980s, this tribute band has been recreating early 60s live Beatles concerts, complete with period instruments, clothing, hairstyles, and even on-stage banter. For more information about this event, call 401-762-4545.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we are talking about lottery Powerball fever this morning. It's just really been a phenomena, and in our area, too. Lines are forming to get those Powerball tickets, and like I said before, a true statistician said, don't play the quick picks. He said, your odds of winning are if you use your particular numbers. So we have someone here who is going to be playing and winning the lottery, our own Jim Corbin. Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
All right, Elaine. I'm glad that you're feeling a little better than yesterday. And I, you know, we messaged each other, and I know you weren't feeling too well. So.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, this morning I didn't sleep at all last night, but I'm here, and I'm here in spirit. So I'm glad that you called in. How are you?
Oh, very well, very well. I was a little concerned, of course, talking about last week about some rough weather today. And actually, there is rough weather, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this lottery thing is obviously big. Now, let me ask you, Elaine, and I know because you play, and I do play on occasion, but I find it almost like I've heard, and I don't know if you agree or if Mike agrees, that the actual chances of winning decrease as it goes up because more people are playing, so there's more of a chance that more people are going to get the right number. So in other words, I've heard people say they play it when it first starts. Like if there's a big winner today, then they'll play it, for whatever it is, maybe 50 million next week, because there's less people playing, so therefore they think that they have more of a chance of winning. I don't know. And then the other thing is I've heard that if you do it just like you have with, you've got a group of people, that's one thing, and I've done that when I... television, we went in on it a few years ago. But the point is that if you win, there's more of a chance that there may be multiple winners today because so many people are playing. So that's going to cut back on the amount that you would get if you won. You know what I mean?
You're right, right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The more people, the more combinations, the better chance of somebody winning in multiples. You're right. Because
there's somebody, but different people that don't know each other. In other words, there's a chance that with so many people playing, and it's almost like there's multiple winners are a possibility. So, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, somebody from Rhode Island could win, Massachusetts out west. I mean, it could be anyone. You're right.
The other day, somebody from, Connecticut won a million, and somebody from Plymouth won a million because they got all five numbers. They just didn't get the Powerball number.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'll take anything. I don't know. I asked this with Dom the other day. What is the amount you can win? Like, if you get four numbers, how much do you win? Like, if you get four of the numbers, is that, like, what, 50,000? Or, you know, I mean, I'll just take anything to play, you know? Like, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, maybe if Mike can look that up, maybe.
Actually, Jim, that's correct. If you get four plus the Powerball number, you get 50,000, and the odds in that is 1 in 913,129.18.
See, that's not a bad odd compared to 1 in almost 300 million. I think it is to win the whole thing. You know, it's almost like you'll just take anything out of it. I think the winning of three, I think you even get like $20 or something, or free ticket or something like that. I don't know.
Here's what we can do, Jim, because you do weather, right? You predict weather. And I think,
do weather, really? I didn't know that.
No, but I'm just saying that, you know, maybe predicting the lottery is almost like doing the weather. We create a computer like the Doppler radar thing or something, and have the computer kind of somehow, like a Doppler radar type technology, predict what the lottery numbers are going to be.
I think you'd have to do it with temperatures, like if it's going down to 22 and it's going to be 42 tomorrow or something, that'll be two numbers, you know. We could probably do something like that.
The crazy, I remember a few years ago, there was someone I heard, someone who obviously had a lot of money, bought deliberately, it took him, I don't know, a long time, but bought up every possible combination. And, it wasn't on one of these ones, you know, but it was on one of the ones with like four digits, the four-digit ones, the state ones, and he bought up every combination. It's almost like, well, you know, if you're going to spend that much on it, then, you know, and you have that much money, why do you really want to do it, you know? So apparently they outlawed that or something. In other words, you know, the ones where it's like you just mentioned, the four-digit winners from yesterday, they bought up every single one, so you had to do it manually or obviously, because it's not a quick pick type thing. And the 0001, 0002, 000, all the way through. So it would be like, what would that be? Like 10,000? I can't remember how many times.
Wow.
But you know what I'm saying? It's almost like, you know, almost like it's unfair to do it that way. You know? But if you have the money, I suppose, and you have the time to do it, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I have a system. What I do, Jim, is like if, like, I'm just taking, like, the mass cash number today is 27172326. So what I would do is I would go and I'd buy 1 and 3 for my first number. I'd because it was 7, I would do 6 and 8. For the 17, I would do 16 and 18. For the 23, I would do 24 and 22. For the 26, I would do 25 and 27. Because I figured, well, if the ball is closer, you know, maybe it will hit again, you know, similar, maybe later. I'm not sure, but
I don't want to do the same number in the following day, right? Something like that, right?
Yeah, it's just like I try to do something like a range. But we have a statistician at work that his mother is very great at math, I guess. Maybe she was too and won the lottery 7 times. She's a multimillionaire. And so he taught her, I'm sorry, not the mother, the grandmother taught her algorithm to her grandson. And now he grew up to be this math wizard. And so I think we've got a better chance, maybe, a probability. I don't know. So we all gave him $20, and he's going out today, and he's using the odds today to predict the numbers and running it through this algorithm. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I've always heard, though, that really, unless there's a rigged thing. I think where's the thing done? In Florida, I think, right, where they actually roll the dice, as they say, to get the numbers in that blowing the pinball, what do you call it, the balls around or whatever they are.
Right.
Unless it's a rigged deck, though, I've heard, and it makes sense, that it's just as possible to get, 10, 13, 42, 68, 69, as it is to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, who's probably, unless it's a quick pick, who's going to probably put down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a Powerball of 7? You might say, that's ridiculous, it's never going to happen.
Right.
But it really, mathematically, it really does have the same chance as any other random upon numbers. It just sounds ridiculous that it would ever come out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it, I think, so extremely rare to win. I mean, the last 3 times I've played Powerball, whatever the other one is, the Megabucks, whatever it is, and I've probably played 2 or 3 times a year, that's it. I have never got even 1 of the numbers. And it's like, and sometimes I'm off by 1, I'm not saying myself, I'm sure a lot of people can say this. You're like, oh, I just was off by 1 number there, oh, that one off by 1. And it just makes you realize how the odds are, it's almost 1 in all the people in the United States, which is about 300 million people, and that's the odds of getting it. They claim, I saw this on one of the TV stations the other day, there's better odds of getting certain things happening to you.
Odds of winning is 1.
The odds of winning is there are better odds of getting hit by, like, lightning and all other things. But, a few other things they mentioned. But I think just the fact that you're in the party, you're in the dance, you know you have some chance. Even if you just spend the $2 and just get 1 ticket, whether it's a quick pick or not, I think it's just the fact of knowing that the possibility is there. So say, like this morning, I'm gonna go across the street to the Cumberland Farms and get it before it gets too crowded and get a quick pick, maybe 2 of them. So 2, maybe $4, and that's all. Just knowing that you have the chance, versus not doing it at all. And you say, okay, well, if I don't do it, I don't spend $2 today. But you know what? You're probably going to spend a couple of bucks on something else, like a loaf of bread anyway. So today, the loaf of bread instead is the chance to possibly win money. So, and again, hey, I'll take 4 out of the numbers and win $50,000. And, of course, that's the other thing, though. And I know you're going to be coming up to a break soon. And do you want me to stay over?
If you can, that'd be great. And then we'll switch.
Weather.
Yeah, we'll do the weather after. But
I'll say this, though. Actually, what was I going to say? About this thing about that's going to be, you should have said it's $800 million. But
yes.
I talked about this as well with Dom this week. I think Paul maybe. it's so funny how they, not funny, but almost like they say, oh, it's 800 million. Well, it really isn't. It's more like just barely half of that, especially if you take the lump sum. And most people do take the lump sum because they don't know how long they're going to live.
Right.
So you want to take all the money up front because they say, oh, well, if you take, you know, if you take it in, you know, weekly, whatever they, whatever it is, if you don't take the lump sum, you'll actually in the end get more than if you took the lump sum. But that might take 50 years, you know.
Right.
So, and so what happens is that they say, like you just said, 800 million. Well, yeah, but it's really isn't 800 million. Half of it's going back to either the government or whoever. You know, I think Mike was talking about who gets, where does that go? That money that is, you only get half of it. So I think it should be put back into like a rainy day fund over the years, and then maybe every few years, all the people that played maybe can get a distribution, a portion of that money that goes back to. Maybe it's a check for $100 next year, you know?
Right.
If you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'd like to know where is the money going that they take half out?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's allegedly, quote-unquote, taxes, but that's almost like a shady way of putting it away. Who's getting that? Who's getting that? You know, if someone wins, it's $800 million, say, right now. Say we have the thing right now. The winner probably gets maybe $350 million after, quote-unquote, taxes. Where does that be?
Right.
Who's getting that? Where is that money really going?
Right.
Is it really going back into the government or, you know?
Each state has their own taxation. Yeah, that's a good question, that's for sure.
One thing I'll quickly end on, and I know you have a break coming up, and we'll talk later after that,
is
that, you know, I think a good thing is the places that do sell and win get a portion back.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
like
they
that
do.
Place in Plymouth the other day, the $1 million winner, you know, they'll get some sort of a fee because they were a winner. So
right, they are the ticket agent. Yeah, and that's great. I mean, it's a really good incentive. I know Cumberland Farms is probably more likely to hit because there's so many of them and so many people are playing because it's so convenient to go in and out. And, it'll be interesting tonight and certainly tomorrow. You know, it'll be very, very interesting. And if we hit, that'll be just phenomenal. So I hope somebody that really needs it wins it rather than somebody that is well set and really doesn't need it, because it's always good to see somebody that can really use the money, like all of us. And on that note, my friend, can you hold for just a sec? We're going to take a break. Okay, you're listening, everyone, to Jim Corbin and myself, Elaine LaRoche, with Mike Catanzara on the board. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we've got to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. There's more of Elaine LaRoche and Out and About here on 1320 WARA.
The Walpole Brain Injury Support Group meets the second Wednesday of every month from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. The meetings take place in the community room of the Walpole Housing Authority at 8 Diamond Pond Terrace in Walpole. The support group is a forum for survivors and their loved ones where they can share information about their brain injury with a compassionate and understanding peer group. Before attending your first meeting, contact Joanne Soucy at 508-735-4756.
Okay, Simon. What are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Plainville United Methodist Church, located on East Bacon Street in Plainville, will hold its annual calendar supper on Saturday, January the 9th at 5:30 p.m. in the handicapped accessible Bomar Hall. A warming winter meal of chicken pot pie with all the fixings will include stuffing, green beans, rolls, and assorted desserts. For more information, call 508-695-5141 or 508-699-8646.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we have Jim Corbin, our meteorologist, on, and we're going to be hearing about this wonderful warm weather. My God, Christmas time, Jim. People were in shorts and t-shirts, and now it's like we're starting to get a little bit chillier, and I had to use my remote starter a couple of days this week. So what's in the forecast?
Well, we have to actually, Elaine, have some pretty good changes. We actually have some freezing rain and snow in parts of Massachusetts right now. Now, not in the Attleboro area. I was thinking that we might have a close call with it yesterday and the day before for this morning. If you're going to be traveling this morning up in the Worcester area, they've had snow most of the night. In fact, a couple of inches of snow there and some freezing rain just around Worcester. So that is an issue. You don't have to head up towards up 146, for example, today, or up 495 towards the Worcester area, and you want to avoid any kind of slick going. I'd advise against that. Now, today, it's pretty much in the Attleboro area and vicinity is what you see is what you get. We're going to have mainly cloudy skies. Now, today, the temperatures eventually are going to come up a few degrees into the low to mid-40s. So another day where the temperatures are above average. Again, a few days, obviously, this past week were colder than average. Now we're going to go above average. Just a chance of a little bit of spotty mist. This real story, though, for the weekend, this weekend, is tomorrow. And I think you might have heard what's coming, Elaine. We've got sort of a sou'easter, as I like to call it. We've got strong low pressure tracking to our northwest. And that's going to bring several hours tomorrow of strong winds and moderate to occasionally heavy rain. Believe it or not, there might even be a rumble of thunder tomorrow. But the trade-off is the fact that we're going to see temperatures spike up into the low and mid-50s, but we're going to have southeast to south winds gusting up to 35 and 40 miles an hour. So a windy, warm, wet day tomorrow. So that's the way to describe it. Then it gets colder and drier with sun and clouds on Monday, upper 30s or so. And then sunshine followed by clouds on Tuesday. Now, so far, most areas around the Attleboro and vicinity have seen just barely an inch of snow. We have had two snow events, you might remember. One just after the Christmas holiday, and then about a week or so ago, we had that coating in spots, totaling about an inch. This is about the least amount of snow we have had so late in the season. And again, you say, well, how late is it? Well, we're closing in another 2 weeks on about halfway through the winter. So if you're someone who doesn't like the winter, then saying we're closing in on halfway through, you might say, oh, that's pretty good. We're almost halfway there. But I do think by next Tuesday night and Wednesday, we have a shot at least a coating of snow. Just keep in back of everybody's mind that maybe the Wednesday morning commute next week, just a few days from now, we may be dealing with maybe brushing snow off the windshield, things like that. Then it's going to get cold again, and then it looks like we have our next shot of more accumulating snow. And in fact, I think right now it's looking more and more like roughly around the 18th of this month, which if you do the math is next Monday, not this Monday, but next Monday would be our first chance at perhaps a bona fide snowstorm. And that would finally take place as we close in on the midpoint of winter.
Wow, it sounds like we may be getting all the way through, almost all the way through January and having just one baby storm, do you think?
Yeah, and I tell you, it's all in the track of storms, especially that far out to forecast it. Any forecaster would tell you the same thing. When you forecast something that's that far out, it could either pass east or west of you, and that'll that'll determine if it's rain or snow. And if it's too far east, you could miss it, and it just stays cold and dry. So the indications are, though, that you can, after today, I see almost no chance of seeing the after tomorrow, I should say, I see little chance of getting to the 50s for the foreseeable future, and that's usually about 2 weeks out as we look at things. So as much as it's going to be a stormy day tomorrow with rain and strong winds, at least the temperatures will be in the low and mid-50s. So that's the time to enjoy mild temperatures, because after tomorrow, that's about it for the 50s for, again, probably 10 days to 2 weeks. Again, not bitterly cold weather anytime soon, but it will get colder, almost like it was this past week. And then we'll have those two events next Wednesday, and then perhaps next Monday, not this Monday, but the Monday after. So if you just keep in mind roughly the 13th and the 18th mm-hmm. are the two threats of precipitation, at least at this point.
Hey, Jim, I got a question for you. Yesterday I saw on Facebook, and of course that's not a very credible source, but well, the Weather Channel had something up there talking about some storm that they were showing heading across the Atlantic. It almost looked like a hurricane type storm, and they said it was unusual, obviously, for this time of the year. What is that? And
that was a subtropical storm that's related in mainly to the El Nino, which we've been having now. The entire Earth is under El Nino, especially the Northern Hemisphere. That is a sort of a subtropical system. Now, I haven't looked at that this morning, but I know yesterday and the day before, they were considering possibly naming it as the first named storm of the hurricane season, which doesn't start until the 1st of June. But they go by the calendar. In other words, when does the season start? It ended November 30th. But if a storm forms by January 1st, it's considered the following season, which I kind of disagree with, but that's another time for another discussion. Mm. But if it became named, and I don't know if you saw it on the Facebook, but did they named it? Because I think Alex is the first name of the hurricane season.
Yeah, I think they were going to name it, but my other question is that, obviously, if it comes up here and we have the colder temperatures, that could potentially become a northeaster, right? Like a snowstorm?
Yeah, but that is way out at sea, so that would be probably something that's only worrisome to shipping interests and things like that. But if it, just the fact that it's out there in the middle of the Atlantic, not bothering anyone on land, is an indication that we have fairly active El Nino, and that's part of what you've seen going on in the West Coast with all the flooding, the bad flooding in parts of on the Mississippi River, where they had a lot of heavy rain. In other words, not snow as much, but rain, and unusual amounts of rain for this time of the year. And so, actually, I think there's going to be another one similar to that in the next few days that's going to form out in the Atlantic. It has the characteristics of a subtropical, not purely tropical, but a subtropical system. So that's more of an indication of how volatile the atmosphere is so far here in New England. We've been sort of in between. The cold air and the storms to the north have been passing by to our north, and the ones to the south, like that one at Cross Florida, is now out to sea. So in some ways, that's why we've been kind of living a good life overall over the last few weeks. Again, if we're going to get something, it's still probably 10 days to 2 weeks away. It's something of any major consequence. So far for New England, for Attleboro and vicinity, the El Nino is actually doing us a good thing for the most part.
Unless
you're someone who likes to skate on ponds or likes to do a lot of skiing, because they haven't been able to make a lot of snow, because it's been, although a few days this week they did, it's been overall not good for winter sports enthusiasts so far.
Right. I have a question. Is it my imagination, or does the sun seem to be much brighter in the winter sky?
Well, it's lower in the sky, so
lower.
It's lower, so what happens is, that now that you say that, I've actually thought of this. Because the sun is low in the sky, you have a tendency to be looking into it when you're driving or walking, whereas in the summertime, it's really, most of the day, it's way high up, and as much as it's beating down on you, you're not generally looking at it. So that's, I think, a reason why it's brighter. And, of course, the other thing is, as I think we might have talked about this recently, the sun is closest to the Earth right around the 4th of January, just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, if you took a picture and you had a real good camera and you took a picture of the sun, obviously you never want to look in the lens at the sun, but if you took a picture of the sun on the 4th of July, at the same location and then took a picture on the 4th of January the other day, you would notice that the sun looks a little bit larger.
Mm-hmm.
The disk looks larger because it is actually about 3+ billion miles closer.
Oh.
But you say about the sun, and again, I'll say this, it's actually, I hadn't thought of it in a while, but I did remember someone bringing it up years ago. I think the observation that you make is one, actually, there's less haze in the wintertime, so the skies are much cleaner and clearer, so the sun is going to get through a clearer atmosphere, and two, it's lower in the sky, so there's more of a chance of you kind of having to, like, look away from it because it's almost coming at you oftentimes.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that. Like even driving to work when the sun rises up, by the time I get to work, you go around the Pawtucket Curve, and that
yep.
sun just stops you in your tracks, you know, and it's like, wow, I couldn't believe
yeah.
how I said to myself, wow, this is really interesting. I wondered if it was lower in the sky because of this.
I think that's part of it. And, of course, you also want to be careful with sun glare this time of the year. With of course, we haven't had a lot of it, but if you have salt and dirt on your windshield, you always want to clean that off. But anyway, I think my phone is about to die, Elaine, for some reason. So I have to get going. I don't want to just cut off. But yeah, great discussion about the lottery. Good luck to you and everyone playing the lottery. And again, what you see right out there right now is pretty much what we'll get today. No sun of any consequence. Tomorrow, a rainstorm with wind, and then maybe our first coating of snow coming up again about Tuesday night or Wednesday of this upcoming week.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much for calling
right.
in, and we look forward to chatting with you next week.
Bye, Elaine. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, that's our Jim Corbin, our meteorologist for WARA. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we are going to take our last break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
New Hope will present the 8th Annual Moonlit Wine, Beer, and Food Tasting at Briggs Garden and Home, located on Kelly Boulevard in North Attleboro, on Saturday, January 30th at 7 o'clock p.m. This elegant evening will be staged on a starlit terrace. There'll be a variety of wines, craft beer, and fine foods. However, tickets for this event must be purchased in advance. For more information, visit the web at www.new-hope.org.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
It's not work. I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Brittany Spears. I've had the pleasure of singing all over this great nation, but today I'm lending my voice to the 15 million kids in America struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left without enough food for a meal. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks helps to get food to families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to learn how you can help. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Pawtucket Winter Farmers Market will take place on Saturdays from 9 till 1 p.m. starting November 7th, right straight through May 14th, 2016 at Hope Artist Village, located on Hope Street in Pawtucket. Come light, snow, or shine, the Wintertime Farmers Market will be open. For more information, visit the web at hopeartistvillage.com or simply call 401-312-3855. 850.
Good morning, everyone. We are wrapping up our show here on Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche, and on my board is Mike Catanzaro, who keeps me on track. And today we are talking about lottery fever. Lottery fever is everywhere, but I did want to mention a couple of things that are happening in our area and some things that are upcoming. But the most important thing is this. The Good Neighbor Energy Fund, Massachusetts Good Neighbor Energy Fund, is now open for all eligible candidates. And the fund helps households in temporary crisis who don't qualify for federal or state assistance. And it does give you, this is the 31st annual Give the Gift of Warmth campaign. And the goal is to raise $750,000 to assist more than 2,000 households in Massachusetts. And you know, with the oncoming colder temperatures in mind, we are pleased to announce, they said, that the fund will be available starting all this week. And if you need to apply, we have the phone numbers here. And if you've lost your job, or you know you have unexpected medical expenses or some other circumstances, they really encourage you to see if you qualify. And it is funded through the Salvation Army. So the number to call is 800-334-3047. Again, 800-334-3047. And this is really a great organization, and if you need assistance or you want to see if you do qualify, again, just call them on Monday. Also, there's an unusual show in tomorrow. It's called The Bottle Show in Taunton, and it's sponsored by the Little Roadies Club. They have their antique bottle show, and the sale will be held from 10 a.m. to 2, which is tomorrow, at the Holiday Inn in Taunton. It is really a very interesting thing. They have over 35 dealers throughout New England, and they'll have more than 60 tables of antique bottles, stoneware for sale. They have inexpensive bottles will be available for new collectors, and they also have the advanced collectors, rare finds and unusual offers, everything from Coca-Cola, soda bottles, you know, those milk bottles that we had, and the ink bottles. Wow, that's interesting. Canning jars and whiskey bottles. Admission is $3. So if you're interested in going to see a bottle show, that starts tomorrow at the Taunton Holiday Inn. So check it out, and it'll be very, very interesting. The South Attleboro Lions Rotary Club is set for an oldies fundraising event on February 12th. And the Rotary Club here in Attleboro is so very active, and this is their second oldies fundraising event. It starts at 7 p.m. to midnight, Saturday, February 12th at the Attleboro Elks. That looks like a really good show. Tickets are only $25, and Reminisce are going to be playing there along with some other bands that will yet to be announced. So you want to check those things out, too. I always like to give you a freebie. Here, Winter Skate Family Event. You can go to the CBS store located at Patriot Place. Right outside there is a skating rink, and you're welcome to go up there and do some great ice skating. Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is February 12th, 2 and 6 p.m. at the Vet Center for children who love Daniel Tiger. And if you're into psychics, we have Teresa Caputo, the star of Long Island Medium. She's going to be here February 27th at the Providence Performing Arts Center. And she is really unbelievable, right on track and everything. So if you are interested, check that out as well. So, yeah, this morning we have been talking about the lottery and all these wonderful things. Movie-wise, the Star Wars film is still bringing in millions and millions of dollars, talking about millions and millions. And, Mike, have you seen the show yet? Have you gone to the movies
yet? No, actually, I just haven't. You know, the reason being is because the movies, for me, that costs a lot in my budget. So I'll probably wait till it comes out on DVD buy the DVD and then you'll have it forever.
Yes, you will. Mm-hmm. And actually, it would be the one to get because it is just so well done and it's just so phenomenal. We have a few more minutes if you'd like to jump on the line at 508-222-1320. If you want to talk about the lottery as we have all morning, and it's certainly going to be the buzz of many conversations today and certainly tomorrow. And if you do play, wouldn't it be great if you won? So sending out those good vibrations, and hopefully you pick some numbers that will actually hit the lottery. So we're both here like excited little kids saying, oh my God, this would be so unbelievable if we won the lottery. But it is a chance to dream, that's for sure. But
here's another question, Elaine. If you won the lottery, would you still work?
You know, a lot of us had that had that discussion. And we said, if we won, would we still do the same job? No. But we would do something.
Something else.
Start
maybe
a new company, start a new restaurant, start a new foundation, start something.
Do something you
actually
like
love. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, I think that most of us work, you know, I love doing radio, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a fun thing for me to do.
This is a fun job.
It is. It is. And Monday through Friday, you know, I have a real job that I have to really concentrate on and, you know, really focus on. And I have a big event next Tuesday. And it's all, you know, it's all encompassing, you know, from everything. So, yeah, if I won the lottery, I probably would do something else that I really, truly love. And I haven't really given it much thought beyond paying off my kids' mortgages and setting up college funds for the grandkids and providing, make sure that they had a solid future ahead of them, which is great. So they just need that little incentive push.
Well, you know what's cool is that the difference between that and now is that if you're working now, you have to work for survival, but at that point you'd be able to do it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And if some, and if all the politics and all that happens, you don't, it doesn't bother you as much.
No. Nope. And talk about a rainy day fund. Woo.
Yeah.
Wow. It'll be raining tens and twenties and hundreds. So, but we wish all of you a good luck with that too. If you go out there, I would suggest, you know, when you get up today, and if you're just listening to us here on the radio, to roll out of bed and just go down to your local, you know, convenience store or and get the tickets early, because you know it's going to be bottleneck from 5 p.m. to closing, and people are going to do the mad dash to try to get those tickets. It'll be interesting to see how high it goes. They're predicting that it could go over 900 million, and I bet you they will hit that mark as it gets closer to, I think it's the drawing's 11 o'clock or so. But we'll have to see.
Imagine if it went to a billion.
I think that that would be insane, because then it would be, I mean, it already is the largest winning, the largest number that the U.S. lottery has ever seen. But someone had said something about Spain was up to a billion. They have a lottery, but it's $200 a ticket. And I was told that yesterday, and I said, oh, my God, $200 a ticket for that. It's like, no, that's a little too steep. And even though we were going into that, that pool, people will say, well, why don't we kick in $40 each? And I mean, it's not about the money. It's about the number. You know, you have to pick that number, because it's only those set of numbers that are going to actually get it. So like somebody could just walk into a store, fill out the card, put it in, you know, for a $2 bet and win it all, you know, and you never know. And here we are putting down $20 for the chance of a dream, as we say. Mm. But it's fun talking about it, and it certainly is fun dreaming about it. And we're having a good day, you know, a lot of fun. So you only have another minute or so before we wrap up here. And give us a call at 508-222-1320. Let me know if you're playing the lottery and if you have any system of playing. I know, like, most folks will play because of the kids or birthdays of family and friends, or, you know, just numbers come to you as you're putting down that little sheet and trying to don't color without, you have to stay within the box. And I learned that the hard way, and I had to do it over again. But it's a lot of fun to think about it and to imagine, you know, what it could be like if you won all this money. And so, I mean, I think that if it does go up to 900 million, I think the take on my company, I think we would be over 30 million each. Can you imagine? And yeah, it's just a wonderful way of having fun and fingers crossed, as they say. But reality-wise, I think we'll all be back at work on Monday, and that's what we were all laughing about. As we gave him the $20 and said, we, you know, come on, you know, you've got to get these numbers right. But I think that in reality, our reality is that, yeah, we probably will be back at work on Monday and just having a good laugh about it. But I think it brings in a lot of, it was a lot of fun to do it. And I think that, you know, sitting around with everybody and just trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do, our strategy. And then I was told that this person's grandmother had taught him the system. And, I mean, I think I'm pretty confident, you know. I mean, I think we should – I mean, we won $48 the last one. So if we won – maybe if we all won $100, I'd be happy with that. Because that way that would get me back my money and – you know,
a little bit of a profit.
And probably go see Star Wars again because it'll take me another $40 to do that with the tickets. But anyway, it's been a fun morning, and it's just been really a lot of fun to dream, you know, and it is. It's all good, as they say. And I want to just thank you so much for listening to Out and About with Elaine. And Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 to 10, followed by Paul Healy from 10 to noon. My show, Out and About with Elaine, will be back on next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. I'd like to thank Jim Corbin and Mike on my board for keeping me on time. So meet me back here next Saturday, and let's keep the conversation going. And from all of us on WARA, thanks for listening. Here is Money, 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 and good luck with everything and everybody, and play. You have to play to win, and I'll see you next Saturday. Come on now.